This is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
Oh, mercy. Okay, well, the rain has affected us, I understand. We'll try it one more time. Could you imagine? Well, let's just try it. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. You see, I try and give it a good intro. Not that time. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. There you go. Man, it's our attitude. Whoo, sometimes we've got to fake it till we make it. They've done studies on that, by the way. They said, can you fake yourself to happiness? And the results were yes. Eventually you can, because you do it and then you start believing in it. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. In times of political uneasiness, which seems to be now, we tend to get angry sometimes. Sometimes we get a little violent. And I pray, when I say we, I mean the world, not we, prayer of faith. But we can do those things. And we get upset because people don't accept our point of view or our candidate. And they don't understand. They don't understand their wrong ways of not believing what we believe. Welcome to Christianity. The gospel means the good news. But when we share the good news with people, they don't want to accept our point of view or our candidate, do they? We have a tough job, but I don't think we're out there punching people's lights out because they believe differently than we do. Their candidate is different. But the Bible says we will suffer for His name's sake. Church, when we believe, we'll suffer. And we'll go through things because people don't see it the way we see it. And they don't believe what we believe. They don't trust what we trust. Now, last week I was referencing the name of Jesus. And I read out of Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 16. And I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to read it again. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they talked amongst themselves, and some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus to His disciples said, but who do you say I am? Remember, I said each one of us has to ask that, or answer that, for ourselves. When Jesus said, who do you say I am? We have to answer that for ourselves. We face situations like that. If you're not sure, ask your spouse or a loved one or a close friend. You know, who do they say I am? I say you're kind of a pompous jerk. What? But who do you say I am? Kind, loving husband, father. You know, why? Others may not have spent enough time with us to get to know the true us. It's fixing to get tricky here just a minute. They may not have spent enough time with us to get to know us well enough to make an informed decision on who we are, let alone who Jesus is, and who He is to us. Ooh, is that their fault or our fault? Did they not spend enough time, or did they spend enough time but saw conflicting views? We send conflicting messages at times with our words and our actions, do we not? I am a Christ follower. I just came from church. Get out of the way. I'm hungry. I'm starving. Move. You're in my way. Get off the highway. You can't drive. Do you mind hurrying up? I'm in a hurry. I've got nap scheduled in 27 minutes. We confuse people. And so when somebody asks, who do they say I am? They say, you're a jerk. Who do you say I am? Well, I've got to know you for years and years. And I think you're wonderful. And on occasion can be a jerk. You know? Whereas the other people, because they haven't spent enough time with us, may say, you're a jerk. I haven't spent enough time with you to see that you're kind and loving and generous and those things. Because we have different views. Because we handle things differently. We have different makeup in our background that causes us to be or react certain ways. But when we live a life of faithfulness and obedience, it should be very clear who we are. Now, I'm going to say this very carefully because I believe there are so, and I've said it many times, but I believe it. There are religious people that are not nice people. They are missing something in here that says, could you be kind and gentle to people even when you don't like them, even when their viewpoint differs from yours, even if this happens? We sang a song last week and David pulled it up in his phone and said, here, use this version. I can't stand listening to that woman. I drove her in a limo years ago and she was not a nice person. Christian singer. Not a nice person. And I thought afterwards, I thought, carried that grudge long enough, Pastor Adam? You probably forget that stuff. Okay, maybe you forgave her, Adam. You still got to carry it on. You got to tell people about it. Yeah. We have to think about what we're doing. And what's our motive behind it? I really like the different version, quite honestly, but I had to throw that story out there. It wasn't relevant. Wasn't important. I found it semi-amusing. But what was my motive? Just to tell people how long you can carry a grudge at them? How long it takes you to not get over something? We have to send clear messages. You know, Veda was talking about being light. Are we light everywhere we go? Or are we just light when it's light around us? And then are we darkness when we're in dark places? Or do we continue to carry that light into the dark places that we go? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say I am? And I'm flipping the question and say, who do people say you are? And then who do those closest to you say that you are? Is it one and the same? Is it different because they haven't spent time and they haven't got to know you yet? Is it because you're sending conflicting messages? Man, I'm faithful when I'm around my church buddies. Of course, I'm around, unless I'm around my church buddies and we're out at the bar and we're getting hammered. And then we're all forgetting we're church people. You know, whatever. I'm not talking about me. I don't go to those things, but... Well, I go to bars sometimes, but I listen to my brother's band play, things like that. But my point is, are we one person here, and one person here? If we say, as Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If we answer the question, if Jesus stood before us and said, who do you say I am? And if we answer that way, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if we believe that, You see, we can say a whole lot of things and not believe it. But if we say that and believe it, then logically we should, first of all, submit, then commit, and then focus on Him and be obedient. We don't get to skip church. We don't get to withhold our tithes and offerings. We don't get to skip serving the church and one another. We don't get to pick and choose, as some people do. Oh, I left out the pages that say, be kind and gentle. We don't get to select, what will I follow in God's Word? I have to submit. Let me tear that page out. Let me smudge it up where I can't read it. Well, let me see. Hang on just a second, church. Get down to the end here. My Bible. Oh, my gosh. My Bible has over 2,200 pages. I obey most of those. Man, being 50% obedient means what? We're being 50% disobedient. Where's the greatness in that? Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. God, I believe that with all my heart. Dang it. That means I have to submit to your authority now. I have to commit to a new way of life. I have to put the old man behind. It says I got a new man as soon as I accepted you. But I kind of took the old man and put him in a closet. What's so hard about showing off the new man? Not in a prideful way. Just saying I'm changed. Because if we want to win people over for Christ, and by the way, that's our job. Once we accept Jesus Christ, our job is to let other people know about Him, who and what He is. Why? So that they can see our point of view and they can choose our candidate. How do we do that? Man, you remember me when I used to be like this? Yeah, I do. Have you seen me be like that lately? No. What changed? What happened? Come here. Hey, sit down. Let me tell you. I know I used to be this big, rough, and tough guy. And I used to behave like this. But somebody introduced me to Jesus. And I want to tell you what happened. And you know me, being big and tough and whatever. I don't fall for that kind of stuff. Don't fall for it. But Jesus got hold of me, despite my pride, despite my macho attitude and my huge ego. He got hold of me. And He changed me. You know, I was on my way out the door. My wife and I were breaking up and our family was tearing up. And Jesus changed me. And our family's back together. But even more so, I joined the church. And I found a place to serve God in the church. And I'm helping little old ladies. You know I mess with cars all the time. I get to help little ladies. And they get to fix cars for free. Oh, some of them try and pay me. I don't take money because money's not important anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm giving money to the church so that they can do things with it. Well, that's not my testimony, but that could be somebody's. And it's sitting down. What did that take? A minute and a half, 2 minutes to say, here is my life before Jesus. And I met Jesus. And I tried not to accept him. But he got hold of me anyway. Life's been different. It's changed. I feel good about my life now. I'm going to break that thing. And it's simply taking time to share your testimony with other people. I'm not good with words. Man, how many words was that? Not many. Here's who and what I was before him. You can share how you met him. And here's my life since I met him. Now, putting a little bit of integrity and truthfulness in the midst of that, I got to admit, I struggled for a while, but here's how I got through it. And by the way, God says, you are overcomers. You are overcomers. We were talking Wednesday night at Ground Zero about faith over fear. And I said, why are we overcomers? Who else overcame? I said, Jesus. What did he overcome? Death? Sin? But how do I overcome that stuff? Well, first thing, he says in Psalm 55, verse 22, he says, cast your burden on the Lord. Well, then what? And he shall sustain you. Church, we've got to dump our burdens and quit dragging those around and wearing ourselves out. We have no energy for anything else other than dragging around our burden. And we always want to tell everybody about our burden, so then we wear them down. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He's got you. He's got you. I know all three of our young men that sang today love singing. No Spencer, no Christian. David seems to be okay with it. Okay, so some of them don't. But guess what they did? They stood up there and they sang. And it was beautiful. And I loved it. If only Susie could play the piano well, you know, when Susie's got, I can hit some chords there, but it just isn't the same as that gift. We have to share our gifts also and our talents or our time or our energy. But if we want people to be drawn to us, okay, forget it. Who cares if they're drawn to us? If we want people to be drawn to Jesus Christ, oh, okay, so it does matter then if they're drawn to us. Because we are what? We are His ambassadors. We are His likeness. We are His representative. The New Testament says, you are, not if you choose to accept the assignment, but when you have accepted the assignment, you are Christ's ambassadors. You're His representative when you're out there in the world. If we want to influence people and draw them to Him, we have to draw them to us. Why? So they can ask questions. You're different. What's different about you? What do you mean? You're kind, you're gentle. One gentleman came in my store one time and he said, you're different. I've seen the way you talk to your people and you're different. Could be I'm a pastor, and all I mean by that is, hey, I'm a Christian. He said, that's it. I knew there was something different about you. He had met me twice and he said, I couldn't put my finger on it, but that makes perfect sense. And I don't mean that as that thing. I'm saying that people should be drawn to us. Why? So that they can be drawn to His likeness. We are the light. And we are to continue that light even in dark places. As we face the storms, Jesus Christ has us. He has us. He's our rock. He's our refuge. He is our strong tower. Now, we have to have discernment when the storms come. You can't stand out there, Lord, come and get me. Can't do that. We have to have discernment. But I'm saying that we are safe in His hands no matter what happens. I have felt the presence of God moving in this church over the last several weeks. I have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit over the last several weeks moving about this church. I have felt God calling people closer to Him and closer to His likeness. And those are two separate things. Closer to Him, that you have a more intimate relationship with Him. Possibly your own spiritual awakening, but also that you're drawn closer to His likeness. That people are drawn to you. When we talk about the storms, when we talk about the elections, in the end, God's got this. He's got it all. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. Church, if we say that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, again, we need to. We should have already, but we need to continue to submit to His authority. Submit to Him and His authority. We need to commit to a different way of life. Why? Because we're different. Once we accept Christ, we are going to heaven. We've accepted Him. There was a young man Wednesday night that said, my fear is not knowing if I'm going to heaven. That's pretty important to take time to clarify that, right? We did. Man, have you done this? Have you done this? Here's what God's Word says. You can be assured that if you've done this and you believe that, that you're going to heaven. But just like the Scripture says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. But we have to commit to a different way of life. Then we have to focus on Him and our walk with Him and what it looks like. I can't be worried about how the world views my walk if I'm walking with Christ. Oh my gosh, I'm not cool enough. Oh my gosh, I'm changing how I dress. We have to be obedient to His Word. Well, how do I become obedient to His Word? I've got to open this up. I've got to read it. And I've got to do whatever I need to do so that I know what my questions are and who I can ask about those. And be careful who you ask. Sometimes you've got the blind leading the blind, giving wrong information about what this means. And there are differing opinions on certain things. But some people just have no clue. Well, God says you can be and do whatever you want. And He says you can just keep on doing what you do because He forgives you. The Scripture says even though His grace and mercy are enough, don't keep on sinning. Just because He's going to forgive you. We have to get in God's Word and read it and get to know it and get to understand it. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray today that we are drawn to You and Your likeness. I pray today that You will continue to protect us from the storms. God, continue just to heal our nation over the anger of differing political views. God, help remind us to make our informed decisions to the best of our abilities, but to not speak evil of those that may have a differing view, and don't think ill of those who may vote differently or even not vote. God, help us keep focused on You. God, if we do say You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, help draw us closer to You in Your likeness. God, help draw us closer to Your Word. God, help us to continue to be light. Not just in light places. Your Word says, what is it if you're good to good people? If you love the lovable. God, help us to love the unlovable. Help us to take light into dark places. So let our light shine before men. God, I pray that You continue to move about in this church, amongst this church body. Holy Spirit, I thank You for moving in this place. Lord, we pray today that You continue moving about this place. God, You are a good, good Father. And we thank You for who and what You are. And again, we ask that we're drawn closer to You and Your likeness through our actions and words so as not to confuse people, but to help make a sure sign and call of who and what we are. God, I ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.